Many experts within healthcare believe that independent pharmacies are the backbone of the pharmaceutical industry. The pharmacists employed at these locations work around the clock to serve as the patient-facing representatives of healthcare in their communities. According to a study published in the Journal of Managed Care and Specialty Pharmacy, researchers found that patients visit their independent pharmacy, otherwise known as a community pharmacy, nearly twice as much as they visit any other qualified healthcare professional.
Now, I spent the 4th of July last year getting a call from a dad and his daughter, who was 12 at the time, was supposed to get a chemo drug mailed to her, and it was supposed to arrive the day before the July 4th holiday. You know, it's medication I don't dispense, so I spent the day calling local hospitals and trying to borrow a drug for the patient. You know, luckily I found an inpatient hospital that had the medication that allowed me to borrow it. Drove to the family member's house to give them the medication. And I mean, this is the stuff that's happening across the country. You know, there's pharmacists that are doing this stuff. We don't talk about it because it's just part of what we do. It's in our DNA to help our patients.
With the pharmacy in general serving as patients' most useful healthcare resource, it would make sense to hear that the profession as a whole is currently thriving, but that is simply not the case. In a report released earlier this year by the National Community Pharmacists Association, or the NCPA, the organization presented statistics that highlight the dire situation several independent pharmacy locations nationwide have been facing as of late. As far as reimbursement dollars are concerned, 99% of all pharmacies surveyed said they've experienced a reduction in reimbursement, while more than 50% said that insurance plans and their pharmacy benefit managers, also known as PBMs, are reimbursing pharmacies less than what it costs to even purchase the drug.
I grew up living upstairs from a mom and pop convenience store, so I know what it's like to run an independent small business. My dad was not a wealthy man, but one thing he was able to do in his business was he set the price of everything he sold. Seems like a pretty self-evident proposition. You're selling something, you know what your overhead is, you know what you paid for the item, you know what you want to sell it for. People can buy it or not buy it, but you know what you're going to sell it for. And I was utterly stunned to see that pharmacists don't work that way. When pharmacists deal with an insurance company, which is, 99-95% of what they do, the insurance company tells them what they're going to sell it for, except it's not really the insurance company. We know it's the PBM. So that was stunning. And the other stunning thing was that they really are not contracts in this business in the way you would normally think of a contract. You know, in law school, we're taught what a contract is. A contract is a meeting of the minds between two parties, let's say a buyer and a seller, right? Your prototypical contract might be when you buy a house or even a car. You know, you negotiate a price and you sign papers. And here, nobody had signed a contract. I mean, virtually no pharmacy had a contract with any PBM. PSAOs signed contracts. They were secret. The pharmacies couldn't even see them. And I'm now looking at close to a $1 trillion a year business, certainly hundreds of billions of dollars a year, which is standing on a foundation of contractual quicksand. So what I found was really pretty mind-boggling. And then as I got deeper into it, I then learned about all the corruption in the PBM industry.
According to a study published in JAMA Network Open, PBMs play a major role in the provision of pharmacy services by acting as the intermediary between pharmacies, plan sponsors, pharmaceutical manufacturers, and drug wholesalers. They emerged in the 1950s and have since grown into some of the largest entities within the drug supply chain. With the help of vertical integration and market consolidation, the three largest PBMs in the industry, also known as the Big Three, CVS Caremark, Cigna's Express Scripts, and United Health Group's Optum Rx, have taken control of just under 80% of the entire pharmacy benefits market.
They've become much more vertically integrated. Express Scripts and Cigna merged. Catamaran merged into Optum and United Health. So Catamaran, I don't think, when I sued Catamaran originally, was integrated with any commercial health insurance companies. Now they're integrated with the biggest. So there's been a lot of vertical integration. And I don't have data at my fingertips to substantiate this, but I basically believe that the mail order pharmacies owned by the PBMs have gotten bigger and bigger, and that's part of the vertical integration, that they have become increasingly aggressive in trying to steer customers away from retail pharmacies to their mail order. Basically, they've just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and unfortunately, there's been some significant attrition among independent pharmacies. Particularly, it seems like this year has been particularly bad, which was not surprising. So I don't know what the total number is in the country, but I believe it's gone down probably at least 10% since I've become involved.
That was Mark Cooker, a litigation lawyer in the Philadelphia area who has worked for independent pharmacies to reclaim their sinking profits. He believes, along with several other industry experts, that the only way for PBMs to stop their predatory practices towards pharmacies is for congressional reform to intervene. But before delving into the legislation of PBMs and the necessary changes the independent pharmacy community is hoping for, it's important to understand exactly how PBMs are clawing at the profits of independents across the country. Tom DePietro is the owner and operator of DePietro's Pharmacy in Dunmore, Pennsylvania, and he has been a vocal advocate for PBM reform. He described the tactics of PBMs, a pharmaceutical entity that millions of patients nationwide don't even know exists, and just how they got involved for patients and pharmacists at the pharmacy counter.
When you go to fill your prescription and you use your insurance card, that is in essence a pharmacy benefit manager. That's a third-party company that is managing the benefit of your prescription drugs, not only on the behalf of you, but maybe on the behalf of your employer. And they determine what I get paid to dispense the prescription. They determine what you as the consumer pay at the pharmacy counter. They also determine, you know, if your drug is covered, if it's not covered. Then they also will determine, you know, if there's a copay differential from using a mail order pharmacy or a pharmacy that they also happen to own. You know, so in essence, they control the transaction from A to Z. You know, so if your drug's not covered, if your copay is expensive, if you're forced to use the mail order, that's all the pharmacy benefit manager. And, you know, often I would say, like, our patients choose us. Our patients choose their doctors. They often will choose their health insurance company, but what they don't get a chance to choose is their pharmacy benefit manager, because it's always just like wrapped into the plan. So, you know, patients, they don't have a choice, you know. So if it's getting their prescription covered with their insurance, they're going to use the card that's in their wallet. And it's just not fair that they have no visibility to the behind the scenes part.
He then delved into the pharmaceutical supply chain as a whole from the perspective of a community pharmacist.
I know the PBMs point the finger at the drug manufacturers, and the drug manufacturers are pointing back at the PBMs. I mean, I often will say, regardless of the situation, follow the money, right? And if you follow the money, it's going to take two to tango. So you have manufacturers that are forced to give rebates to get onto the PBM's formulary. When you have three PBMs that control 80% of the market, you know, the pharmacy, the manufacturers, the drug manufacturers have to play the game. And to play the game, they have to offer rebates. The way that the system is set up, if they don't offer the rebates, they're not going to get preferred on a formulary, and they're not going to sell their product, right? So there's definitely room. But I think we're past the point of pointing fingers. I think we're past the point of, you know, who's to blame? I think we have to roll up our sleeves as a nation and say, okay, this is where we're at today. How do we move beyond here? How do we fix this problem that we're at? And I just think our country has become so divided in general that we just get stuck in this rut of saying who's better than who and who's to blame. You know, we need to find a solution, because at the end of the day, there's patients that are suffering.
Along with several other independent pharmacists and pharmacy associations across the country, the will of the PBM industry and the companies that operate it have forced people like Tom to become advocates for the community pharmacy profession. And when discussing community pharmacy advocacy, it's imperative to mention the work of the National Community Pharmacists Association, or the NCPA.
We've just been fighting this battle for quite some time now, and it's good that just in the recent past, there's been, you know, much more attention put on the intermediaries. Especially given the fact that only a couple of years ago, it seems like compared to now, the spotlight is shining a lot more bright against these actors.
Steve Postal is the Director of Policy and Regulatory Affairs at the NCPA, and he met with Drug Topics to discuss federal and state-level advocacy for PBM reform. He's been with the NCPA for over 2 years and has dedicated his work to helping the 19,000-plus pharmacies within the NCPA's community pharmacy network. Postal sat down with us to discuss the ongoing legislation moving throughout Congress and why federal advocacy has been much more of a challenge than state-level advocacy. He started by discussing the three changes he'd like to see through his organization's work toward PBM reform.
One is to remove, you know, the conflicts of interest of the largest PBMs have through vertical integration and, you know, reconciling that and like as I discussed with the earlier contract provisions, just making it more fair to independent pharmacy in the marketplace. Also to ban spread pricing in Medicaid managed care by requiring a fair and transparent reimbursement structure that the legislation that we support would save taxpayers about $1 billion, and that's S2973, which is the Modernizing and Ensuring PBM Accountability Act, or MEPA Act for short. And I guess the third one would be to require CMS to define reasonable and relevant contract terms in Medicare. Our legislative vehicle for that is S3430, which is the Better Mental Health Care, Lower Cost Drugs and Expenditures Act. And this bill includes a provision which requires CMS to define, you know, reasonable and relevant Medicare Part B contract terms. And it would also give, you know, CMS the tools to oversee and enforce those terms. So again, helping to level the playing field with independence.
He then delved into the differences between state level and federal level community pharmacy advocacy.
So I think on the state level, state advocacy can be much closer to the ground, and there's tends to be more grassroots involvement, which is a good thing. Pharmacy, too, is often a typically more of a state-regulated issue, so more attention on the state level there. The internal politics of the states, when you have, from the industry's perspective, like with their trifectas of control, like both houses and then the governor is all one party, bills tend to move quickly, and that is also the case with our issues. So it's not necessarily that the pharmacy issues are partisan per se, but it's just more of a global partisan policy issue that we can benefit from, again, if it's one party has control. We've seen great successes in the states in this last year alone. I think there are about 8 PBM reform bills that we've seen that have been signed into law. But on the federal side, it's just more deliberative, takes more time. So Congress generally in the office in D.C. 3 or 4 days a week, that limits the amount of time and work that they can get done. The House tends to be more reactive. The Senate tends to be more deliberate. So trying to reconcile those two houses and their framework of looking at things. And that's even before politics gets into the mix.
When it comes to the current landscape of the drug supply chain and rising drug costs, a slew of actors, including pharmacists, drug manufacturers, and congressmen, have deliberately pointed the finger at PBMs. But with Congress failing to pass any federal bills regulating PBM practices, progress toward lower drug prices and PBM regulation has stalled. In the meantime, few entities have taken a stand against the anti-PBM narrative. One example of that is the Pharmaceutical Care Management Association, or the PCMA.
PCMA is the National Trade Association. We represent 17 of the 73 PBMs out in the market. So our primary role is to help make sure that the tools and the issues that we see aren't impacted by legislation or other causes. So, you know, we are responsible for a total of 275 million Americans, and that includes Medicare, Medicaid, public and private employers, labor union, retiree plans, and the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program. So we just kind of oversee all of our PBM practices and help with the industry relations.
Johnny Garcia is the Senior Director of Policy for the PCMA. He sat down to discuss the common functionalities of PBMs and what his organization sees are the misconceptions surrounding the PBM industry.
The biggest thing for PBMs is that we leverage competition to contain drug benefits. And so PBMs do that with four main things. So they administer the insurance claims for prescription drugs in real time. So oftentimes when you go to a pharmacy, you present your insurance card. They enter that insurance card into the system, and then they process the claim through the PBM to determine what the price is for the patient in the end. So we administer the insurance claim portion of that with our claim systems. You know, from the PBM outside of the pharmacy side, we do negotiate savings for brand name drugs directly with drug manufacturers. So that's to help us contain some of the costs. We negotiate with pharmacies or their PSAOs, which is a representative of a pharmacy, to help reduce the pharmacy costs, especially for prescription drugs. And then we also provide some clinical tools and programs to help support patients and clinicians, things like our utilization management tools, which are quality and safety checks based on clinical recommendations. We have real-time benefit tools that we use to help provide that information over to providers. And then we have other clinical services to help patients' adherence, access to drugs, and patient support. So our primary mission is to make sure that we're putting downward pressure on the drug supply chain to reduce drug costs.
He then explored how PBMs are helping take the burden away from patients amidst ongoing animosity from advocacy groups and pharmacists alike.
PBMs are under attack just because we're the only entity that's working with all parts of the drug supply chain. So we're working with drug manufacturers to put that downward pressure on drug pricing. We work with pharmacies to also, you know, make sure that they're offering high quality products at a lower rate as well. You know, we think that drug manufacturers may be, you know, focusing the attention on us so that they can deflect from the high rising costs of drugs. And we're seeing a little bit of that with the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act that's out now. And so, and as I mentioned before, I mean, those launch prices are, you know, were $2,000 in 2008, and now they're upwards of $180,000. I think the other thing that we're facing scrutiny on is not being transparent, and that's absolutely not true. We have to be transparent in our contracts. It's things that are negotiated with the employer or the plans, and anything that they want to see, we can be audited at any time. So they have that ability in the contracting to do that. And in terms of transparency to the government, we have to do a lot of reporting to different agencies within the federal government.
When it's all said and done, what all entities within the prescription drug market can agree on is that drug costs are egregiously high. And when it comes to enacting change in the United States, calling on federal regulation is sometimes the only option. PBMs may point the finger at drug manufacturers and vice versa. But while large corporations continue to profit from America's need for prescription drugs and valued care, patients are forced to suffer from rising out-of-pocket drug costs, and the pharmacies that serve the patients are subjected to declining reimbursements. Recent reports of this ongoing issue have painted a vivid picture of a battle between PBMs and pharmacists. But with each entity's line clearly drawn in the sand, the country will have to wait for Congress to make a decision on where the future of pharmacy will take us.
Pharmacies need to get paid a fair dispensing fee on the actual drug cost, right? So I think for far too long, there's been this cat and mouse game of, you know, pharmacy is going to submit a price for X amount, even though we know we paid this amount. You know, like the drug cost should be very transparent. I'm not saying the government should control the drug cost, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think All I look for is the pharmacy should be paid a fair dispensing fee. We just want to serve our community with fair prices. So I think fair reimbursement, I think patient choice, there should never be an instance where a patient is forced to go to a mail order pharmacy for a cheaper copay. There should never be an instance where a patient is forced to use a chain pharmacy. This is America. So I just think like, we have to have a fair and level playing field where the focus is on the consumer, right? It can't be on the pockets of PBMs, the pockets of insurance companies, the pockets of drug manufacturers, the pockets of pharmacy owners, right? This is about patients, and it's got to be about patients first and always. And that's what's so frustrating to me is just like the patients are just in the crossfire. So I think at the end of the day, if we could just get some sort of fair system where the pharmacy operates in, the insurance company operates in, and the patient is served, you know, I think I'm hopeful that we'll see some change. I just don't know how you get there.
So until the federal government moves legislation across the finish line, pharmacies and their patients must endure the high costs of prescription drugs. While further movement toward lower drug costs has been recognized in provisions like the Inflation Reduction Act, it's going to take the government stepping in to enact change within the industry. In the meantime, independent pharmacists will continue to let their voices be heard while always serving the patients in their community, proving their value to the healthcare industry as a whole.